Please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 5, and I'm reading verse 41, Mark chapter 5, verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Our subject tonight is the defeat of death. Christ has power over death. He has power over nature. He has power over demons. He has power over everything. He said, all power is being given to me in heaven, but also on earth. So we speak tonight about a very hard subject, but there is hope because Christ defeated death. And the Bible calls death the king of terrors. The Bible also calls death the last enemy to be conquered. But we don't need to be helpless or hopeless, because in John chapter 11 verse 25, the Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. No religion says this. There is no other way, and there is no other hope for sinners to know what is going to happen when the rope of this life come to an end. When we study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that the Lord did 3 resurrections. Or he resurrected 3 persons. But in total, in the Bible, we can find at least 8 very clear resurrections, people being raised from the dead. So I'm explaining this just to show it's a reality. But here, we know that there is a great resurrection in the life of Jairus' daughter. And if you bear with me, just to mention the 3 resurrections done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jairus' daughter here, but we find also the son, the only son of a widow in the Gospel of Luke. And in John chapter 11, we find Lazarus. So you can see the Lord raised a girl, 12 years old. The Lord raised a young man, but the Lord raised also a friend, Lazarus. If the Lord, when he started his ministry, was 30 years and Lazarus was his friend, so we can guess Lazarus, let's say, was at least 30 years old also. But when we come to Mark chapter 5 here, it's a chapter with 3 hopeless cases. I'm still building my foundation before we come to the text. 3 hopeless cases. Let's call them the incurables. And again, you can see the variety. The first incurable case is the man possessed of demons. Or no religious leader could have ever done that, could have ever cast away those demons. But the Lord did it. Then the second case, incurable case, it's a woman with a fatal disease. 12 years bleeding. Maybe for us, 12 years, 12 years, that's fine. But I'm sure in her case, 12 years were an eternity. And then the third case, incurable case, was the case of Jairus' daughter. And just imagine, again, you can see the variety in the word of God, a man possessed of demons. Then you find a woman, 12 years, which means more than 12. And the younger girl, who is 12, was getting sick to the point of dying. And she was born when that woman started to be sick. But this shows us a first application here. No matter who we are, old, young, man, women, the Lord has a way we can come to him and be found. And this is why we read again in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ said he was sent by the Father. His Father sent him that everyone who believeth on him may have everlasting life. Oh, this is the most important part concerning what we are saying tonight. And he said, and I will raise him at the last day. I will raise him. Can you see? I will raise him. Not someone raising him, but Christ being God, being the eternal God, the Son of God, who came and gave his life to save us from this doomed and condemned world. And believing, trusting in him, we can have not only our sins forgiven now, which is the greatest of all, but we know also where we will spend life after death. Isn't this a great, great event? Isn't this a great message? Oh, indeed, it is a great good news for sinners. But let's come to the record, the account of Jairus' daughter's resurrection. I take it for granted that most of us, we are so familiar with the record that we know it by heart. And it's also interesting just to mention that this account occurs in three Gospels, which shows that it is important. It's here in the Gospel of Mark, it's in the Gospel of Matthew, but it is also in the Gospel of Luke. But all the time, when this story or account is told or is mentioned, there is an interjection with the fatal disease of that woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, always intertwined with the story. I wouldn't dare go in explaining more there, because I think the fact of that association has a lot to teach us. But I would like to come more to dwell on Jairus and his daughter. The little to mention about Jairus is that he was the ruler of the synagogue. And the synagogue in that time, in the Lord's time, was a place for education. It was a place for religion. It was a place for fellowship. So there are many things happening in the synagogue. So he came pleading. He came to the Lord pleading for his daughter. And just to make the point, when he left home to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember, maybe he just heard about the Lord, maybe he saw some of the miracles the Lord have done, and maybe he even saw some people the Lord have healed, and certainly he saw that woman who has been healed after 12 years of sickness. So he can come, but when he left home, the daughter was just dying. She was not yet dead, but she was dying. But before going back to home, and I don't know how long it took, because the crowd and the woman bleeding for 12 years coming has disrupted the trip going back to Jairus' house. So, but while before going back to the house, the daughter, the text says, the daughter was dead. Because the news, even the bad news, came and, don't worry, leave the master, there is no hope, the situation is irreversible, your daughter is dead. What a bad news to hear for a father who wanted to come to see the Lord and have his daughter being cured and healed. But in the Lord's answer, he compared death with sleep. So for the Lord, he's so powerful that for him, death is something to be compared with sleep. I believe all of us here, thinking about sleep tonight, we don't think we will never wake up from it. Oh yes, after 8, 9, 10 hours, don't know how long you sleep, but hopefully I will wake up and start a new day. So in the same way, it's an analogy, it's a metaphor that, oh yes, we sleep, we hope to wake up, so death one day also will be brought to an end, and there will be a general resurrection for the living and the dead. For the living and the dead. But now, the Lord comes in the house. The Prince of Life, this is how the Lord is called, the Prince of Life enters in a house, and what is going to happen gives us a parallel of what is happening or what will happen with conversion in the life of a person. So if I may just put it this way, every miracle the Lord has done has its parallel spiritually. The Lord was not a charlatan. He was not doing miracles just to impress the crowd. But what he does in the body has a similar analogy to what he does in the soul, to a greater scale. Because the body, the dust goes back to the dust, but the soul is eternal. So I'm moving in the text. I will do something which we don't do very often. I'm moving backward from the text. And it shows, first of all, what conversions does in taking the illustration or the life of the daughter, the 12 years old girl. And the second step we are going to make is to look at the same analogy again in the life of Jairus. And in closing, we will find there is one condition. In order to be saved and to be converted, there is a condition. So let's start with Jairus' daughter, the daughter first. What can we learn from her case, her situation, in relation to conversion? And there are three elements which are very clear in relation to conversion when we see what was happening in the life of the little girl. The first thing is in verse 37 and verse 43. I wouldn't read the verses for time's sake, but in verse 37 and verse 43, we see that spiritual life is found in secrecy. Spiritual life is found in discretion. It is not something to impress. It is not something to make a show of. And we see the Lord spoke, and he said, spiritual life is given, but it is internal. In the house, not in the crowd. In the house. So if I may apply that, spiritual life comes in the heart. In the secret of the heart, the Lord works and gives spiritual life. It is internal and done in the heart. And the only witnesses to spiritual life is those whom the Lord himself has invited. And that's very important. So for salvation and conversion to happen in the life of anyone, only two persons are necessary: God and the sinner. No third party. So, to come to know the Lord, I must see myself as a doomed sinner. I must see myself as somebody who do not deserve. Oh, my goodness, my merits, my prowess, nothing I can do will bring that salvation unto me. And this is why I need to cry unto the Lord. What has the Lord done for me? Oh, Jesus Christ, the only God, the Savior, came from heaven to earth and died on the cross of Calvary to redeem sinners, repenting sinners, who will seek for salvation because of what he has done on that cross. So the second thing, we see the Lord spoke to her. He touched her and he spoke to her. Oh, don't expect the Lord to touch you physically when we speak about conversion, but definitely the Lord will speak unto you. And in verse 41, we see, that's our text, verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai. So, in conversion, the Lord speaks to us through the word. Even now, as we preach the word of God, he speaks to us. And he is our spiritual healer. Christ makes the dead to hear. He speaks to them. He speaks to the dead, and they come to life. He commands, and the soul is raised from the dead. Christ has great authority, and his word brings life to the dead. So that's the second thing. The first one, in the secret of the heart. The second, the Lord speaks to us through his word. But thirdly, we can see the result in verse 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. Conversion can happen in an instant. You came to this place tonight unconverted, or maybe you came even, I don't want to hear, actually I will be there, but definitely I will close my ears. My body will be there, but my mind, my spirit is not there. I will be somewhere else. But when word is said about the word of God, the Holy Spirit takes that word and moves the heart. The mind shakes us, and we cry unto God for salvation. So conversion can be instant and leads to a new life. Straight away, the text says, verse 42, and straight away the damsel arose and walked. So conversion leads to a new life, newness of life. As soon as we trust in Christ, we are saved without delay. No wonder the people were surprised. They were astonished. They were amazed about what happened. So conversion will bring also people to be amazed. We knew him, a drunkard, somebody from a gang, somebody who never respect anyone, so proud, had a high opinion about himself. But look at him now, the lion becomes the lamb, just a lamb, so humble. Oh, this is amazing. Who could have done this? Nobody. And I remember a Muslim who was converted, and his life was completely changed. And the neighbors came to us, and believe me, they asked us, what have you done to that man? Oh, we haven't done anything to him. The Lord has been gracious to him. Because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. So those are three simple things which we see from the example, from the analogy of the young girl. But you may say, she's dead. What is the relation with us? What do we have to learn from this? Again, we come to the word of God, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Oh, we are dead. We are sinners by nature, we are sinners by practice, we are sinners by principle, we are sinners by choice, but we are sinners willfully. We love our sins, we want to consider our sins, we want to be in our condition, and when we hear the Lord, the word of God, we say, oh no, this is not for me. But the word of God tells us we need it because we are dead. Dead means dead. And that's the case of each one of us. So we have also three attitudes in Jairus which will help us to see how conversion can happen in the life of a person. Three attitudes. We saw three with the 12 years young girl, his daughter, but now the father also. The two combined gives us really a wonderful picture of what we need to do in order to be converted, and also what conversion does in the life of a person. So three aspects which we need to follow in the life of Jairus. The first one, he came with a great need. I believe he has never experienced such crisis in his life, desperate situation. And we can see that in verse 22 and 23. This is why I said I'm going backward. Verse 22, 23. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee. There is a great need. So, in order to find the Lord, you don't come to the Lord. Do you want to be saved? Maybe. Oh, I will think about it. I don't know yet. Maybe, perhaps. Anyone who does that will never find a way. But I come. This is a matter of life or death. And I need it. Lord, do save me now. Do not leave me in my condition. Dead in my trespasses and sin. Lord, do that great work in my life. I believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give repentance. Bring that repentance in my life, because it is a gift also of God. Second, in order to find the Lord, he came humbly. And we must come humbly. We don't come full of ourselves again, boasting and thinking we are the best. How did he do it? In verse 22, and when he saw the Lord Jesus, he fell at his feet. Oh, this is really the heart of the text of conversion. We must fall, at least the heart must fall literally before the Lord humbly. And we must humble ourselves. So that's the only way we come to God. He was a rich man. A ruler of the synagogue was a rich man that time. He was a chief in the community. But just imagine him running, coming to before the Lord Jesus Christ and falling at his feet. That shows his great need, and he did it. So he knew that when it comes to the death of his daughter, the only person who could help is the Lord Jesus Christ. So with our soul, only Christ could help, because he himself conquered death. And in John chapter 3, verse 36, the Lord said, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we must come humbly. We humble ourselves, and we must beg the Lord to come in our hearts, to come into our lives. So he invited Christ into his house, even though, it's interesting, even though he knew that Christ has touched, or he has been touched by that unclean woman. And in that culture, normally you wouldn't invite somebody who has touched something unclean. But Jairus could go through and humble himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. So I repent from my sins and cry unto the Lord for help. And the Lord loves to hear a sincere prayer. The third one. So first, he came with a great need. Second, he came humbly. So he put himself down And the third one, he came and begged with persistence. And this is in verse 23, and besought him greatly. So he didn't just say, help me once. He insisted. So tonight, we invite you to insist before the Lord. Don't just say, Lord, save me, while you don't mean it. You say it with the lips, but the heart is not involved. Oh, Lord, save me. Say it to him. Insist, persevere, until the Lord answers to your prayers. Don't let the crowd discourage you. Don't let the society discourage you. Don't let the friends discourage you, because there will always be obstacles. And here, there are obstacles. The crowd was an obstacle. The friends may ridicule you, but even the seemingly lateness of the Lord shouldn't discourage you. Keep on asking. In face of derision, trust in the Lord. Before I come to conclusion, there is one condition. So we have seen what are the steps which are so important in order to come and find the Lord. It must be done in the secret of the heart. It's between God and the sinner. We must listen to the word of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the heart. But also, it is something done instantly. We don't need to spend all our life not knowing where we will spend life after death. But also, we must come with great need. I need it, Lord, save me. And we must humble ourselves, but we must insist also in coming to the Lord. But there is a condition in order to be saved after all those elements. It's in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. And actually, in the Greek text, it says, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Maybe you are afraid to come to Christ tonight. Stop being afraid. And only believe. That's the only condition which is put before sinners. Fear not, only believe. So salvation is to believe only in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in his mercy and ask for it. So we believe that he gave his life, not just for everyone. No, that's not the case. But he gave his life for me. Why? Because salvation must be personal. Salvation must be individual. So we found that everywhere in the word of God. Be not afraid to come to Christ tonight. Jairus believed that the Lord can make his daughter to live again. I must also believe that he is able to bring my soul and raise my soul from the dead. Christ did not only raise people. I mentioned that he raised three people from the dead. But he also tasted death himself for his people. For everyone who will trust and repent and believe in the work he has done on the cross of Calvary for sinners. So he suffered in his body the death that we deserve. He became a curse that we will be set free and made clean and holy before God. He took upon himself the judgment of our sins. If I want my sins to be forgiven and to be raised from the dead, I need to believe only. It's not by merits. It's not by works. It is by grace, through faith. I need to believe in him. So, verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked. So, can I challenge you? If you have never seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ, arise. Arise from your sins. Arise from being filled with your own life. Oh, and believe. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning death. Christ is the great conqueror of death. Christ, by his life, by his death, by his resurrection, has conquered our last enemy. And he gives us that hope. Once he comes in a heart, he brings salvation. He brings peace in the soul. And as if it were, we are also raised from the dead. So that's the analogy. The young girl was raised from the dead. By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are also raised from the dead. So Christ overcame death, and he invites each one of us to be reconciled with him. Can I invite you tonight? Come to Christ. He paid the price. Death is defeated by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. O Lord, our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that salvation is still possible, that the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated death to show us that there is a way to find God, that there is a way to receive everlasting life in trusting in his work, in his great work on the cross of Calvary. Oh Lord, we plead again. Our words are so feeble that they cannot touch or move the heart unless the power of the Holy Spirit does the work. And we come humbly, Lord, asking for thy power, thy Holy Spirit, to work mightily and use these feeble words to penetrate and bring a sinner on his knees to seek tonight and find the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these mercies in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's close.